Shipley and Murata Mornings.
Social Studies.
Brought to you by HigherPrice.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
9 o'clock hour is upon us, and so is Social Studies. And Sarah Cazell's here to take us through it. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into Social Studies. Great to have you with us as we get a look at the mind of Jarrett Carlin. We talk about Valley sports through the mind of Jarrett Carlin because he posts these questions every single day, and I have the fun job of just reading the best answers. So we're on Twitter/X at @Bickley_Murata. We are also on Instagram as a show at @Bickley and Murata. We have some great videos coming later today, courtesy of Charles Barkley. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at @Bickley and Murata. All right, let's jump in. The biggest question that the Suns must answer this offseason is what?
Who are you? What are you becoming, right?
The biggest
kind of, yeah.
Answer, no, but actually.
Yeah, it
kind
of is, yeah. The first iteration of this team together didn't work for anybody.
Yeah, and no identity. I think that's actually a really good answer, Vinny.
I did it as a smart
Golly aleck, gee, it, you're hot today, Murata.
You fell into it.
Mr. Havercamp.
Ball's over here, Mr. Havercamp.
Do you second that, Bic? Is that your question?
I do,
well?
Yeah.
I would
because
drop the mic
if
listen, it wasn't on this stand.
I watched the Timberwolves play in one game increments against the Suns, and I didn't know what the big deal was. I didn't see it in Anthony Edwards, and I didn't see it in their defense. Watching them up close throughout a series and seeing how consistently they play terrific defense when it matters, that's their identity. It's what they lean back on. And so the Suns never got on any runs because they were a play-by-play accountable kind of deal. That's their identity. Suns, you can't name their identity.
No, what could they hang their hat on? You mentioned it. Minnesota played defense when it mattered. They decided that every possession mattered that series, and they played as such.
They did.
And that is their identity. And that's why they're going to be formidable to deal with for Denver to deal with in the next round. But the Suns don't have anything they can hang their hat on. You're right.
Yeah. So who are we? You guys said it. That's what Hey Heyron submitted as well. Biggest question for the Suns to answer. Who are we? MC Ren and Stimpy asks, who is the enforcer on this team? The Suns lost toughness and edge ever since they traded away, as Gambo would say, Jay Crowder!
Devin Booker! Buda Baker! Why am I screaming?
Minnesota!
Minnesota!
Blake says the biggest question for the Suns is how are you going to address the point guard position? That's the only question that matters. Is Beal going to be the point guard and distributor? Is he going to come off the bench?
Yeah, there is that. There is that.
Look, Bradley Beal saying, I will do whatever I'm asked to do is going to be tested in his second year in Phoenix. Yep. We can say that.
That's well said.
Because he might have to go to the bench.
That's very well said.
Paulson J. Healy says the biggest question is, which coach out there will the players actually respect and listen to? Chuck Riley says the biggest question is, why do all the other teams in the playoffs look like they want it more than the Suns did? Even an older LeBron was bawling out last night. I don't root for other teams, but I sure am envious of their players' effort right now. So the question he's saying is, find the disconnect. Where is the disconnect? And then fix it.
Fair.
And then last one for this question from Daryl Lee. The question to answer, are they a basketball team or astronomers? While I appreciate Matt Ishbia's aggression, this isn't a team. He's just done a lot of stargazing.
Ooh. Completed the analogy. I like that.
Yes, yes,
wow.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey, Daryl Lee, hey. All right, Suns fans. If this season were a movie, what would it be called?
Ooh.
You can take a real existing movie or
Gone
your own.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Damn.
I can't
talk.
Didn't
take you any time at all. Okay, Gone in 60 seconds. Done. That is strong. Matthew Warwick says it would be called Scary Movie because they are a parody of a basketball team and a joke. Justin Prestigard says, I think this indie film would be perfect. And the title is A Legacy of Whining. Like, oh, and then the tagline, or what is that called for the movie when they have the little
tagline?
Is it a tagline? Yeah. Okay. The past ain't all it's cracked up to be. Huh, very interesting.
Pretty long tagline.
JC says the movie would be called Are We Done Yet? The Ice Cube movie.
And the tagline there is yes.
Yes.
For a couple days now. Matt says it would be Titanic. Started out all shiny and then eventually was at the bottom. This is a great one from David Hansen. If this season were a movie, it would be called Raising Arizona, but with the spelling R-A-Z-I-N-G. Flattening Arizona. And then from Keith, this movie would be called A Nightmare on Jefferson Street. Ouch. Okay. LeBron came
Fighting
up.
Kruger!
LeBron came up in one of the previous replies from Chalk Riley, I believe, about the effort that he saw from him. We are asking of these three stars, who is most likely to win another NBA title before they retire and why? LeBron James, whose team just got eliminated last night. Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, who didn't even get to the postseason this year. Who is most likely to win another title before they retire and why?
Wow. I don't think it's Curry because I don't think he's ever going to play outside of Golden State. And I think they're done.
And you think, okay.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant or LeBron?
KD and LeBron could both change teams again.
Yeah.
Who's first?
I would begrudgingly vote for LeBron on this particular question.
Yeah, unless KD does something like, I want to go and do the LeBron back to Cleveland. I'm going to go back to Oklahoma City and make those fans stop booing me and cheer for me all over again. But I'm going to vote for LeBron as well.
Okay, I voted for LeBron too, and he's in last right now. Most likely to win another title before they retire is Steph Curry, says 40% of our voters. 38% believe it will be Kevin Durant. 22% say LeBron James.
That's an interesting question. And maybe later in the week we can get into, because there's there's some smoke about KD in Oklahoma City too, which I think is very, very interesting on a number of fronts.
Definitely. Okay. LeBron James is Arizona sports history's response. Steph appears to be too loyal to Golden State, and Kevin Durant likely won't be put in a situation set up to win unless it's Phoenix. LeBron, however, will do anything he can for one more title. Somewhat hyperbolically, I wouldn't be shocked if he took a veteran's minimum to go to the Bucks, says Arizona sports history.
Who take a veteran minimum?
LeBron.
I love Arizona sports history's account. Great dude too.
That ain't happening.
And then Brad
Johnson.
He's
more likely to go to Golden State, and him and Curry both at the same time try to win a title.
Last one, just from Brad Johnson. He says, Steph's game is shooting, and he doesn't seem to have had a big drop-off yet. He has the best chance if he can get better role players around him.
There we go. We didn't get to the burning question of the day, the Tip Ryman question. Are birds real? Yes, no, or is anything
real? Do we need to spend airtime on it?
We're all in a simulation. That's what it is.
Yeah,
huh?
The poll is very close now, believe it or not.
Gosh.
Is anything real is only slightly behind yes.
I know.
Okay.
Only by like 5.5%. But maybe more interestingly is that 10.3% of the respondents said, no, they're not real.
Tyler Hamelwright said, Jarrett convinced me. I've never seen a dead bird. Well, maybe four times, but that's it. So maybe just four birds are real.
Again, my experience, I brought it up. There's evidence on my car. I remember being a kid and I was riding my bicycle near an open field and nearly got killed by a bird swooping down and hitting me right in the face.
Wow.
What was that?
I once killed a bird with my windshield and I cried. I was so caught off guard by it.
It's called thinning of the herd. Yeah. It's natural selection. The dumb birds are the ones that fly into glass panes.
Thinning of the flock.
Yeah, thinning of the flock.
There you go. Herd of birds sounds better, though.
The phrase bird brain comes from something.
Is it our producer? Ruthless.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Social studies every day on X at Bickley_Murata. Coming up next are the Sands and Frank Vogel's Phoenix coaching hourglass running out. Some believe that to be the case. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Everybody, it's Bernsie. So much finger pointing began just moments after the Sun season ended on Sunday. Who is most to blame for how poorly this year went? It's the Burns and Gambo Show, 2-6 on Arizona Sports.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, this is a fun question here. Go into our website a little bit earlier than usual on arizonasports.com for the poll question, because we have a fun guest coming up at 9:30. After the addition of Jaden Quaintance, which ASU coach do you have more faith in as a recruiter?
Ooh.
Bobby Hurley, who landed this star, or Kenny Dillingham of ASU football?
Ooh, that is a... For all the, like, darkness around ASU athletics these days.
Yeah.
The Quaintance news and then the recruiting news from the football program last weekend, last week. It's pretty positive.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if I can pick. I guess Quaintance is the highest rated recruit they've ever had.
So. Right. And that's not saying a ton, but it is a list that includes James Harden.
Josh Christopher was very highly recruited.
Right.
How was Cherry? Was he a 5-star or a 4-star?
I think it depends on the
service.
Yeah.
All right. Kenny Dillingham is leading in the poll right now. 60% of the voters say they've got more faith in him, but still 40% for Bobby Hurley.
I love that Kenny Dillingham responded to the Bobby Hurley news yesterday by saying, look at Bobby Cook. It's like, Kenny Dillingham loves being a Sun Devil.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Doubt. Yeah, it's very important.
That is
today's... Props to Bobby Hurley for that, because like you said, it just seemed like an avalanche of bad news.
Totally.
From the recruiting budget, which became a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still haven't talked about that possible Hard Knocks situation, docuseries.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it does.
That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
Back in the day, you remember when the Heat came together, Bosch, Wade, LeBron. They spent a lot of money. The next 2 years, they added Shane Battier and Ray Allen on the mid-level exception. You can sometimes really get quality role players. Because of how much money they're spending and their rules, they've had that taken away. They're not allowed to use that. So they can't really sign anybody other than the minimum. They can't really trade anybody unless they want to trade a star player. And so you want to know why everybody's thinking Frank Vogel's going to get fired? Because you can't do anything else.
That's Brian Windhorst.
That's
on the
right.
Pat McAfee
show. Kind of accurate.
You can't fire the players. So what do you do if you're the Phoenix Suns? It's going to be an interesting 24 to 48 hours on Planet Orange, as we've mentioned a couple times during the show today. There's a press conference tomorrow. Matt Ishbia and James Jones, Frank Vogel, as of now, not scheduled to make an end of season kind of post-mortem visit with the media. So what does that mean? If anything, or is there change on the horizon? I'm not going to sit here and if it does happen, I know the fan base is frustrated. Frank Vogel was the lightning rod and the target for a lot of that frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it happens to go along with what Brian Windhorst said. There's a lot of moving parts here, but you can't, they do not have the flexibility to really change their roster to any degree. So what do you do? Do you run it back? I mean, Charles Barkley says it would be a disgrace, and in a lot of ways it would be a disgrace.
Right.
Their hands are kind
of
tied.
But look, it's also clear there's a fundamental lack of respect here between the stars of this team and this head coach.
The fact that that article came out like 2 minutes after the end of that playoff series just indicates how big that disconnect was.
Yes. So that means somebody on the inside was leaking this stuff, and the Athletic had it primed and ready to go. That story that, okay, this guy tried screaming at us for appearance's sake, that's way beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm. So the question now is, what would have been different about this season if they had a different coach?
You were reading my mind when we were talking about, we started this conversation. You know, how important in this scenario with this roster and all the same roster moves made during the season, how important would a coach be?
What would have been different? What would they have changed? What could they have utilized differently? Because that's what they have to look at, obviously, if they make it a new head coaching change. What kind of coach can do something different?
Yes, and Frank Vogel came to Phoenix with the reputation of being a very strong defensive head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the defense for the Phoenix Suns was far better than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
As a whole.
Yes, I agree with that.
Especially in the second half of the season.
I agree with that. There was a time with about 2 weeks to go in the season when I remember Grayson Allen and others talking about how far they had come in that regard. That they were actually, you know, cracking the top 12 in NBA defense, and nobody would have ever thought that. So, look, I think the issue was is you need a head coach who can lay down the law, who is the voice of authority. And it seems like every successful basketball team, because you know that players run the NBA, and more than any other sport, coaches are more chaperones than anything else. Mm-hmm. But in cases where there's a good collaboration, Mike Malone and the Nuggets, Steve Kerr and the Warriors, they all say the same thing. This team lets me coach them hard. Chris Finch said that about his Timberwolves.
I like it? Because then one of his players went out and injured him.
I took him out. Yeah, do they like it? I don't know about that. But if you're invested and you know the coach is bringing the goods, then I think that happens a little more easily than not.
And in game four on Sunday night, it was a nightmare of an evening for Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the Suns who spoke to the media yesterday, and it went viral. Everybody talked about Frank Vogel having his hand out. And Bradley Beal either waving him off or slapping it hard, which looked more like that to me. Bradley Beal explained that whole exchange yesterday.
I was frustrated with fouls, and I knew I was coming out. It wasn't nothing against Coach. Coach, I'm sorry if that probably did look bad, but no, it wasn't. I was more frustrated with myself and being in foul trouble. Like, I knew I was coming out the game. Like he was doing his job. He was being smart, saving me. Like it wasn't nothing towards Coach.
And that's the way I took it. It was just another example of the bad body language and mojo that Bradley Beal was putting out there.
I want to believe that. Yeah. I really do want to believe that, except Bradley Beal, after doing that to Frank Vogel, very generously dapped up teammates who also had their hands out for him. Okay, I'll take him at his word. Mm-hmm. I'll take him at his word, because Bradley Beal is pretty much, from what I can tell, a stand-up guy.
Yes, and he was also asked in that media session, hey, should Frank Vogel be back? And he did not go as far to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
He did say positive things about his experience with Frank Vogel, mm-hmm, and it being new and enjoyed playing for the entire coaching staff, but also ended about a 50-second answer with saying,
"You're trying to bait me into an answer." Yeah.
It was like, "Should he be back?"
But that's also revealing to me, because as I said earlier, the internal dynamics of a basketball team, you are not going to go out on the limb and say, "Of course, coach should be back." If the two alpha males are thinking otherwise, because then those two alpha males are going, "What are you doing, dude?
Don't undercut us."
Yeah, what are you doing, dude? That's not your place. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yep. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk Suns and NBA. We'll be joined by Mike Wilbon of ESPN. Woo! Straight ahead here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. We continue on the Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Always a treat when we're joined by our next guest, and it's happening right now. ESPN, the great Mike Wilbon.
The great Mike Wilbon.
On the Arizona Sports Line. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm it's still in recovery after last night's drama with Denver and the Lakers.
Yeah.
And just, consuming all the playoffs without the Suns now.
And I'm wondering what you feel about this. As a guy that likes the Suns, you live here most of the time, to spend all that money to talk the way they did and to get zero playoff victories out of the whole thing. Where do your emotions take you? Who are you mad at?
Well, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not. And that doesn't mean the Suns aren't disappointing. They had a hugely disappointing season, the whole thing, really, because they never got going in the way that we expected. And there's enough blame to go around. There really is. I mean, the roster is flawed. And we thought that all year. I mean, I talked to you guys about that early in the year, middle of the season. Mm-hmm. It's a flawed roster. It doesn't have the things. Look, the Suns are nowhere near as good as Minnesota. They're nowhere near. And so I thought going into the series, okay, this can be like a six-game series or, you know, something can happen. Look, you're a turned ankle away in the Western Conference from a lot of things flipping.
Yep.
Against you or for you. But you can't look at the Suns roster and think it's anywhere near as good as Minnesota's roster. We're consumed with celebrity and stardom, particularly when it comes to the NBA. That's the culture of that league. And we get carried away with it, and Vegas pronounces somebody the favorite because there's a trade, and we go nuts. And you look at the roster, look at the teams. And the Suns aren't as good.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the Lakers have the worst matchup for them, or had it. It could have beaten a lot of teams, actually, in the West. They couldn't beat Denver. Denver's probably the only team the Lakers just couldn't beat. And, the Timberwolves are certainly a team that the Suns, you look at it and just go, okay, the Suns are smallish. They're certainly not big, and Minnesota is. Minnesota's got a defensive player of the year. The Suns, you know, ranking near the bottom defensively, except for short bursts of play at the end when they, won 7 out of 10. You look at, again, I'm one of those people, you don't have to have a traditional point guard, but you better have somebody who can organize the team and manage the game, and that be that person's primary responsibility and identity. For years, the Suns don't have that.
Yeah.
They haven't had that all year. Kevin Durant has always played, as great as he is, with somebody who had that role, whether it was Russell Westbrook or Steph Curry or even for a minute and a half, Kyrie Irving. Devin Booker had in his most successful time Chris Paul. Bradley Beal had in his most successful time John Wall. None of those guys did that for a living. You can pay them as much as you want. You can talk about scoring as much as you want. There are other things that a team has to do besides score. And the Suns, the roster never had that. It didn't have the kind of depth. It didn't have the kind of size you need in the Western Conference. Might they still be playing in the Eastern Conference? Maybe. But you look at them against Minnesota, they weren't going to win that series.
Yep. Mike Wilbon of ESPN, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. You mentioned there, Michael, a lot of things that the Suns were lacking. One other thing that has come up a lot is the subject of player leadership. And your viewpoint on this, I think, is very valuable because you're close to Chris Paul, and the Suns had that box checked in a big way for three seasons with Chris Paul on the roster.
Yep.
They move on. When you compare the Chris Paul-led Phoenix Suns to what you saw this year, how glaring was it through your lens? You know, how much leadership they were missing?
It's a 10. That's not what Kevin Durant has been known to do, for people who pay attention to Kevin Durant's career. It's a great career. He's an all-time great, particularly, and he's been a great defensive player through most of his career. Not a good one, a great one. But sort of taking the team by the reins and leading, that's not his thing. Nobody, I mean, he can get upset if he wants to about people talking about it. The observation is a valid one. That's not who he's been. And Chris Paul has been that throughout his career. He didn't cash it in ultimately. It got close, you know, in 2021. But that's what Chris Paul does. That's what he did for a Hall of Fame career. Devin Booker has some of those qualities, but that's not what he did when the Suns were at their best.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul did that. And that's not what Devin Booker's done. That's not what Bradley Beal's done. Brad's a tremendous scorer, but he's been that on bad teams. He's never really done that on good teams. But Bradley Beal, from everything I know from the time in Washington, and I watched his whole career, has been a tremendous teammate. He's a good dude.
Yeah,
you want to have Brad Beal. You want to have him. But in terms of a championship level on court, off day, locker room guy who may have to get under your skin and is willing to do it and is great at it, Suns didn't have that. There's no arguing that. right? There's no, people can get mad if they want. Mike Conley is that, right? Mike Conley's not a great player anymore at the level that he was 10 years ago. Mike Conley's like in the, what, 16, 17 season?
Yeah.
But Mike Conley provides that for Minnesota when they need it. So that was missing, right? And I don't know that you can rely on guys. I mean, Devin's the youngest of the three to sort of develop that. Yes, you grow and you can grow into leadership. You can. And Devin's better at it now than he was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But in terms of that player on the court, organizing the team, organizing, just look at their fourth quarters. See, people can say what they want. My whole thing is, I'm sorry, your fourth quarters were what? The whole year.
Yeah. Yep, the whole year.
They did get better late. They got better late. Frank made some personnel changes and some rotation changes, and they did what they could. And they tried to get better at it. See, I'm not mad at anybody because I'm not going to fault those guys. That was evident from the beginning. And because of the way the roster was constructed and no flexibility, you couldn't go out and get somebody and change that roster at the break.
Yep.
So they had – it's a flawed roster. They're not as good as several teams.
That's true.
They're not as good as Denver. They're not as good as Minnesota. They're not as good as Oklahoma City. Let's start there. Those teams, didn't those teams just go one loss, those top three teams in the West?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Suns aren't that, and I don't know how they get there. I know how I think they have to go about trying to get there, but I don't know if they can get there in the offseason.
Yeah, so I want to ask you exactly that. It took about 2 minutes for the season to end when that story on The Athletic from Sham Sharania and I believe Doug Howler locally here just kind of had an anecdote of players rolling their eyes at Frank when he tried to get tough and scream at them after that Clippers game, that 35-4 game, and it kind of gave a real good indication as to the disconnect. What is the move? What can they do now to try to salvage this with as little flexibility as they have?
Well, just starting with the coach is cosmetic, and it's the kind of move that is typical of professional sports, all of them, when the players don't do their jobs to the level that anybody expects. So Frank Vogel is way down on my list. Frank Vogel's a problem? Really? Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Frank knows his business. But, they can roll their eyes all they want. They failed.
Yes.
And I don't know how you – I don't know why you would even – I don't know. You got to start. Bradley Beal has no trade contract. Now, maybe he wants to be traded or it's okay and you could work around it. Devin Booker is a legitimate franchise player. We just saw it. We saw it 3 years ago. We know what can happen with Devin Booker as your best player. We've seen it. But Kevin Durant at this stage, what can you get and have 2/3 of those guys still be on your team and function at a high level? What can you get?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is still great enough to push a team that's close over the top. But is Kevin Durant the guy he was 10 years ago when he was at the end of his run in Oklahoma City and his beginning of his years in Golden State? No, he's not. He's not. He can score a lot. But look, people got to look at something other than scoring averages and their analytics. Does he impact the game in that way anymore?
That's it.
And so what's the most you're going to get? And I don't see Kevin Durant just sort of being the Suns guy without Booker and just have a bunch of people fill in around Kevin Durant at this stage, who's 35 years old. I don't see that at all.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start with this and you're going to make big, bold moves, the first big, bold move, it seems to me, the only big, bold move, you're not going to get a haul for Bradley Beal. You're not, even if he agreed to be traded. You don't have free agent money. The way you get better really in the NBA right now is draft picks and draft capital and assets, and the Suns don't have that. So where do you go? What's plan B? I don't see any way around plan B being moving Kevin Durant. What else would you do?
Yeah, they're very limited. There's no doubt about it. I wish we had like another hour to talk with you, Mike.
Yeah.
Great stuff today. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, listen, I appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael Wilbon, ESPN, breaking it down for us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, some final thoughts on this Tuesday, including news that marries the football world with the comedy world. We'll tell you about it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Marotta, song of the day.
Take it from the top. If I start, I just can't stop.
I love when we get not direct suggestions for Song of the Day from our listeners, but a word here or there that a listener or a respondent to social studies give us. So the question, the biggest, we had a social studies question today. Sarah asked, what is the biggest question the Suns need to answer? You read Daryl Lee's response. The question to answer, are they a basketball team or astronomers? While I appreciate Matt Ishbia's aggression, this isn't a team. He's just done a lot of stargazing. So stargazing is today's song.
Wow.
Today.
Okay.
Who is this?
This is The Neighborhood.
Oh.
And it's a selfish choice too, because I freaking love this song.
Freaking love this song. The Neighborhood. What is up?
From 4 years ago already. It came out during the pandemic. Stargazing by The Neighborhood, today's song of the day.
Bickley and Marotta going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
All right, the worlds of football and comedy will meet this weekend on Cinco de Mayo. Live Netflix comedy roast of Tom Brady. Scheduled to do some roasting. Bill Belichick.
No. No.
Okay, now I'm actually interested in it.
What?
Wow.
Longtime Patriots coach Bill Belichick set to roast Tom Brady in new Netflix special. Broken by Greg Rosenthal.
Do you know who else is on that list, perchance?
Ben Affleck might appear. Other former NFL stars, including Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Drew Bledsoe, Randy Moss, also are scheduled to appear.
No Antonio Brown?
The event will be hosted by Kevin Hart. No Antonio Brown. Longtime Roastmaster Jeff Ross scheduled to appear as well. And you know, if Jeff Ross is involved in a roast, it's going to be quality.
Been on our show twice, I believe.
What would, if Bill Belichick contacted you, Jared, to write some jokes for this roast? Do you have anything?
I could give you something tomorrow or on Friday, but not right now.
That might be a good segment of the Sports Kebab on Friday.
That's an excellent, excellent suggestion.
Thank you.
Here, grab a pen, write it down.
Well, that's it, though. Just, like, be prepared. All those players you just mentioned and Belichick are not going to go in writing their own stuff.
No.
They have comedy writers that provide them with material.
Yes.
But it'd be very interesting to see how he delivers it. Because he could be very funny deadpan if given good material.
I'm one of those people, and I know it's not necessarily in vogue even comedically anymore to just make fun of people.
Mm-hmm.
Jared.
What? Wait a minute. When did this turn?
Yeah.
I could, if there was just a channel of comedy roasts.
You would watch it constantly?
I would watch it all the time.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I would change the channel.
I'd like to sell you a 12 video cassette thing of the Dean Martin roasts. Call 1-800.
I never went as far to order those roasts, but I remember them being on television when I was a kid, and I loved them then. But I would sit through that damn infomercial.
Yeah, for the free comedy. Yeah, right? Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
There's another story that's of interest in the sports world. Dave & Buster's today announced they have the technology and it will be in place. Customers can bet on arcade games now.
Oh, come on.
Stop. Are you
serious? Adults age 18 and older will be able to place real money wagers on arcade games with friends. And they did say yes again. The technology is expected to be available in the coming months. Customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on a Hot Shots basketball game, a bet on a skee ball competition, or on another arcade game. What could possibly go wrong
there? It's a funny idea, but what? How is that different than just me betting Sarah?
Right, me saying, I bet you can't beat me.
I assume the difference will be that the money will switch over to like your card like instantly or whatever.
I don't know. I didn't see the details on it, but a lot of the response that people had on social media to the story is like, are you hiring more security? Because when people lose money, they tend to get really
mad. They get violent. Yeah, it's true. It's a very good point. Wow. Who knew?
Vic, we've been doing this show for a long time. Over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know me very well by now. You know that I am a harsh critic of myself and this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one to puff our chests out. But damn it, today was a great show.
Smoke, yeah, we were cooking with oil today.
And it started with the guest list put together by Jared Carlin.
Wow.
Well done, Jared. Charles Barkley, Mike Wilbon, Christian Jones. Sarah, awesome today. Our listeners were great on social studies. And we knocked it out of the park.
I'm with you, man. I flipped my bat.
All right, we've earned the nap today.
Yeah.
we'll try to be as good tomorrow. Join us at 6. Wolf and Luke up next. Have a great day, everybody.